The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
All right, folks, you're very welcome along to the Bench. Packed show coming your way. We'll be talking Cork's draw with Galway with Mary White very, very shortly. We'll also talk Munster's draw with Ulster.
One of those games had it ebbed and flowed, you know, so we dominated most of the game, and a few hiccups around the end of the first half and the end of the second half cost us.
Lots of reaction after Cork City leave it late to beat Sligo last night.
We did deserve to win, but at the same time, we could have easily, it could have easily been 2-2 or maybe even 3-2, because in fairness to Nolte made a fantastic save with 10 minutes to go.
We'll also talk to Ramblers boss Stephen Henderson, and Burnley have been relegated from the Premier League.
We've been competitive in virtually every game. If you look at the scorelines, the margins have, of course, out. You know, when we've needed to take chances, make big decisions that count, we haven't quite found that. And
you're listening to The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Rory O'Hagan, Lisa Lawler here with you on till 7 p.m. A lot of sport to get through and a lot of sport happening today, Lisa.
Indeed. We'll start with the rugby, and in the Pro 12 clash at Kingspan Stadium, you mentioned Ulster 23, Munster 23. A late Keith Earls try looked to have won it for Anthony Foley's side, but Paul Marshall got a last gasp try, which Paddy Jackson converted to level matters. It means Osbury stayed top, Glasgow second, Munster third, all on 70 points, while Ulster are fourth on 69. Connacht are targeting a bonus point win away to Zebre as they look to move into European Champions Rugby next season, and they're leading 7-0 there. Lansdowne claims the Division 1A title in the Ulster Bank League today following a hard-fought 18-17 win over Clontarf at the Aviva. In Gaelic games, the Cork Ladies footballers drew with Galway in their league final. It finished 3-8 to 1-14 after a thrilling second half at Parnell Park. The replay will be next Saturday. Locally, the final two games in round one of the Senior Football Club Championship take place this evening. Clyde Rovers and Castlehaven clash in Carrigadrohid from 7, while at the same time Douglas and St Nicks go head to head at Porky Rin. There's one fixture in the Red FM Senior Hurling League this evening. St Finbar's hosting Erin's Own. That's just getting underway in Toker. In soccer then, as you mentioned, the late match underway. Crystal Palace hosting Manchester United, and United are leading 1-0 there. Juan Mata with a penalty. 33 minutes on the clock. United 1, Crystal Palace 0. Burnley relegated despite their 1-0 win at Hull. That's because Newcastle got in a crucial point at home with West Brom. Hull dropped back into the bottom 3, 2 points adrift of Newcastle and Sunderland. The full-time scores from the Premier League 3 o'clock matches today. Aston Villa beating West Ham 1-0. Burnley overcoming Hull 1-0, as I mentioned. Leicester beating Southampton 2-0. Newcastle and West Brom played out a 1-1 draw, and Stoke beat Tottenham 3-0. Earlier on in the day, Sunderland lifted themselves out of the drop zone with a 2-0 win at Everton. In the Championship playoff first leg at Portman Road, it finished Ipswich 1, Norwich 1. The sides will meet at Carrow Road next Sunday. Dundalk can open up a 7-point gap at the top of the SSE Electricity League Premier Division this evening. They go to Longford, where it's a 7:30 start. And in a few other bits from around today, Lewis Hamilton's 100% record of pole positions in the 2015 season is at an end. He's qualified second for tomorrow's Spanish Grand Prix, finishing behind his Mercedes teammate Nico Rosberg. Rory McIlroy tees off around now on day 3 of the Players' Championship at Sawgrass. He starts the day on 4-under, 4 off the joint leaders Kevin Na and Gerry Kelly. Graham McDowell is 1-under par, while Pádraig Carrington has dropped back to 3-over with 1 to play. Cork County Cricket Club are in action in the Irish Senior Cup first round. They're away to Clontarf with the action underway since 1 o'clock this afternoon. County were put into bat by Clontarf and posted a total of 144 all out in response a short time ago. And in greyhound racing, the final of the Irish Independent Irish Laurels takes place tonight. The first race is at 7:30, with the final of the Laurels due to take place at about 9:40.
And County have just taken another wicket there, so Clontarf now 104 for 8 with 22 overs gone, 40 runs behind County's at total. So it looks like it's going to be a very exciting finish to that game there. Get in touch with us, 0868 104 106. You can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. Now Cork's Red FM are sending you and a friend from Cork to the Champions League final in Berlin with flights, accommodation and the tickets money can't buy. So if you want to win those tickets, listen on Monday to the Neil Prendeville show Monday at 9 to be in with a chance to win a trip of a lifetime. That's with thanks to Nissan Ireland, sponsors of the Neil Prendeville show. An absolutely incredible prize for you there, so don't forget Neil Prendeville show Monday from 9. Chance to win tickets to the Champions League final with flights, accommodation and of course those incredible can't buy tickets. Right, joined on the line now by GAA journalist Mary White to discuss Cork's draw with Galway today in the league final. And Mary, a really exciting game today in Parnell Park.
Yeah, excellent. It was brilliant altogether. I actually can't wait to go home and watch it on the television. It was brilliant. I think at this stage you could definitely put Galway in an All-Ireland final. They're top class outfit. And hopefully you'd put Cork there as well after today's display.
So who's happier coming away from Parnell Park? I mean, did Cork lose this or did Cork, were they lucky to get the draw?
I think Cork will be, I'd say they're very happy to have got the draw. I suppose you have to look at the fact as well that now Clare are out of the Munster Championship. It's actually going to be 8 weeks until the Munster final against Kerry. So the fact that they're getting another really competitive game against probably the best team in the country at the minute is going to do them, you know, brilliantly. And as well as that, I suppose the younger players who started today, there were three girls who were getting their first start in a National League final. You had Marie Ambrose, Oisín O'Sullivan and Aisling Hutchins, and they did very well. I thought Marie Ambrose, a cornerback for St. Fals, brilliantly. And I suppose when they're getting games like this, and again next weekend, it's only going to stand to them a name in Ryan Cum Championship.
One thing that really impressed me today, Mary, was the speed of Galway's attack going forward. They were absolutely incredible.
Yeah, they've been working very, very hard. They've a female physical trainer with them, Anne Caffrey's her name, and she's done brilliant work with them. Their forward line, I'm sure you probably saw on the television, the likes of Louise Ward, she got an absolute brilliant goal. She danced away between two or three Cork defenders there at the start of the second half. And Tracy Laird, I mean, she finished with 8 points. I think three or four of them were from points at least. Another top-class act, and I'd say after today's performance alone, she's an All-Star winner anyway. But they've massive speed, and that's what Cork were trying to contain by getting so many players behind the ball. I think at one stage there were two or three Cork half forwards coming back behind the ball to try and stop that, to try and break Galway from going through. And interestingly, I think this is the fourth national final, let's say, between these two sides. So they've now met in three league finals, and they also met in the 2005 All-Ireland final. And today is actually the first time that Galway have managed to score a goal in Cork. So that'll tell you how hard Cork are working defensively. So yeah, the next day out is going to be another cracker. And to be honest, I won't be surprised if they finish the draw as well next weekend.
Well, I hope not. Well, Mary, you talk about Galway finally getting a goal past Cork today. They missed a penalty in the second half. They missed that, and then Cork's goal came through Vali Mulcahy. And, you know, that was a huge moment in this game because Cork hadn't scored in the second half until that point, if I'm correct.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, Cork went down 4 points, I think, at that stage. Now, to be honest, the penalty, in my opinion, wasn't a penalty. Martin O'Brien was going for the ball, eyes on the ball, and it just happened to be a collision. And I suppose if that had happened further out the pitch, it would have been a jump ball, you know. So to be honest, it wasn't a penalty. And Annette Clark, I suppose you probably saw it on television, she blew it wide. Mm. But Cork went back down the other end of the pitch. Brilliant play. Emer Scally came on as a sub. I thought her pace was brilliant as well, and Cork needed that. Dearna Sullivan's shot was saved, and who was there only Vali Mulcahy to put in the back of the net. That Cork weathered the storm really, really well, because Galway were actually, I think they were 3 points down at half time, and they scored 1-4 at the start of the second half without reply. So Cork did really well to just keep the head and go on.
So Mary, where did Cork need to improve ahead of the replay next week?
They gave away an awful lot of possession, I suppose at the start of the game. Nerves probably came into it a good bit. But hand passing went astray, you know, definitely trying, you know, not giving the ball away. And especially against the likes of Galway as well, they're going to punish you. And when you have such a, you know, when they have Tracy Leonard, who's a great free taker, you know, left leg, right leg, not a bother on her, but you can't be giving the ball away. But other than that, I think they'll be very happy. I suppose Cork are probably guilty at times of overcarrying the ball, and that crept in a little bit at the end as well, not laying the ball off when people should be laying the ball off. And that can get frustrating as well watching, so I suppose it can be very frustrating for the people on the inside line as well. But yeah, those would be the two key areas I would think for next weekend.
And Mary, do we know a venue for the match now? Obviously there was the triple header at Parnell Park today, but will we come closer between maybe halfway between the two sides? Or
I would probably say it would if I was to guess, I would say Limerick somewhere, but to be honest, it would depend, I would think, on whether TG Car are broadcasting it, and obviously what, depending on where their crew are going to be at, then that would dictate that, I would think.
Okay. Well, Mary, thanks very much for joining us on that. A draw between Cork and Galway this afternoon. We'll do it all again next Saturday. Cheers for that, Mary.
Thanks, Mel.
It's GAA journalist there, Mary White, speaking to us about today's drawn game, and a really enjoyable game, I have to say, up in Parnell Park. Still Crystal Palace nil, Manchester United 1. It's approaching half time. One Mattis penalty, the difference between the sides. And our Cork County Cricket Club in action against Clontarf Cricket Club. Cork County posting a total of 144 for their all out, I should say, and Clontarf in response are currently 112 for 8 after 23 overs. County's attack being very good today, so hopefully they can get another couple of wickets before Clontarf exceed that total. Right, going to talk rugby, and Munster and Ulster playing out at 23 points apiece, draw today at the Kingspan Stadium. Really exciting game there as well. Munster looked to have it won before the late Paul Marshall try for the home side, Paddy Jackson, and converting a really difficult conversion to level matters. So 23 points apiece was how it finished. We'll discuss it shortly. First, the viewpoint of Anthony Foley.
It's obviously one of those games that had it ebbed and flowed, you know, so we dominated most of the game, and a few hiccups around the end of the first half and the end of the second half cost us dear, you know, and it's important that we played a full 80. You know, I thought that stages during the game we were in a good dominant position, but unfortunately we didn't capitalise on that with the result. About getting the combinations right, I thought Stephen Archer had a fine game for us in the first 50 minutes. I think Bija comes on then and gives us a bit more experience and solidity in there, and we went after that transition time there, and you know, from there we built a platform on the game. I thought our lineup functioned very well. I thought our maul was good, and we probably didn't get the benefits that we'd normally get off that, but you know, that sometimes you got to bear with that. I think I've come up here a number of years and have left home with nothing. We're leaving for home with 2 points, so hopefully you know, that stands as a stead going into the knockout stages.
That's Anthony Foley putting a brave face on things, but he's got to be disappointed with the way that game ended and the amount of hard work that they put in to get themselves into a winning position, and then to just throw it away with just kind of a lack of concentration with that final play.
Well, in the first half, first of all, they dominated possession the whole lot, and you know, to go in down at half time, first of all, you know, just the end of that first half to allow Ulster, Tommy Bow crossing for that try now, it was excellent. And then the end of the second half as well to concede those points. And yeah, because Keith Earls, when he went over for the try, I thought, this is it, game over. And I was actually live tweeting it at the time, being like, they couldn't, could they? Because as they went on the attack, it was like, come on, seriously. But I think what happens here now is we have an unbelievable weekend next weekend, because the top three sides level on 70 points, and the battle for home semi-finals is absolutely huge. It's
basically
amazing.
Munster have to win next weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, the top four place is guaranteed, the semi-final is guaranteed, but when you see how well these top four sides are contesting the closing stages of the regular season, getting the home semi-final is a crucial element now.
Yeah, really exciting game today in the Kingspan Stadium. Disappointingly, couldn't get the result today, but that's how it finished. 23 points apiece was how it finished at the Kingspan Stadium. And it all to do now for Munster next week. CJ Stander as well, getting the Man of the Match award. An absolutely fantastic performance from him. All right, still Crystal Palace nil, Manchester United 1. That game approaching half time. Luke Shaw gone off injured there. And in the Red FM Senior Hurling League, one game underway. Since 6 o'clock, the Bears taking on Aaron's Own out in Toker, and it is the Bears who lead by 5 points to 2. The latest score from there. Now to discuss the Munster and Ulster game in a bit more detail, Murray Kinsler of the42.ie joins us on the line. And Murray, exciting stuff for the neutral, but I'd imagine Munster disappointed leaving the Kingspan Stadium tonight.
Absolutely, I think so. Anthony Foley said afterwards that he's come up here a fair few times and come away with nothing, so he said he's at least satisfied to get 2 points, but I think generally they're going to feel like they left that behind. I mean, you're a couple of points up and 7 points clear with 4 minutes left. You think you have the game wrapped up, especially with a man advantage as well after Ian Henderson's red card. So yeah, it's definitely one they'll think they've left behind, especially after a good performance and when they kind of soaked up a lot of Ulster pressure throughout the game. A disappointing outcome in the end.
Yeah, that sums up an awful lot of different talking points. Obviously, the scores conceded towards the end of both halves. Ian Henderson's sending off the red card. Let's maybe talk about that, because at the time it looked like a huge game changer. Was it fair?
Yeah, my initial feeling was that it was a yellow card, maybe. Obviously, a lot of people disagree with that, and there certainly are grounds there to give a red. I think we probably don't see incidents like that happening a lot in games when they do actually occur off the ball. Maybe I think there was a similar one in the Leinster match yesterday when the player kind of got away with it in the end. So it's disappointing for Ian Henderson. Look, once you go into the TMO and you're reviewing that incident in slow motion, it's going to be a red card because he's got his head in there and it just looks reckless. Ulster say they're going to appeal it. Neil Doak, he said, I definitely disagree with it. He didn't comment too much on the actual, the content of the incident, but he said they're definitely going to appeal it. And he said Ian Henderson certainly doesn't agree with Nigel Owens's decision in that regard. So they're unhappy with it. We asked Anthony Foley about it as well, and he kind of batted the question away, but he also kind of pointed out that Henderson hadn't actually bound on to Ron O'Mahony in the rucks, which is obviously against the laws of the game. So yeah, a controversial decision, but there was certainly enough there to warrant a red card. My initial feeling was that it was a yellow, though, I have to say.
Yeah, it didn't look too pleasant in the slow motion replays, I have to say. It was a battle of the kickers today. Paddy Jackson, Ian Keatley both performing admirably.
Yeah, some really excellent place kicking, and Joe Schmidt was here sitting in the stand watching the game and will have been impressed by both those guys. I think Jackson probably edged the battle of the tens, if you're going to look at it that way, even though they probably didn't even come into contact once in the game. But Jackson, he's been in great form recently, and again, especially in attack, his passing was really excellent. He kicked well out of hand as well, and then to nail that conversion right at the end. Yeah, he said afterwards that his heart was in his mouth, and he did feel the nerves a little bit, but he held his nerve, and to see him place kicking as well as his kind of good playmaking form, I suppose, is encouraging for Schmidt. Keatley did well, though. He obviously held his nerve over the tee as well, just one miss and a good performance from him all round. Generally, just in terms of the Irish qualified players, it was a good day, and there was loads of strong performances. Even a guy like CJ Sander, who's not yet Irish qualified but is going to be, he was man of the match again and just really physically superb in the collisions.
And Murray, what's the official word on Simon Zeebo and Tommy O'Donnell, and will they be available next week?
Yeah, Foley kind of refused to rule them out at this stage. He said that Tommy O'Donnell had picked up a leg injury and was a little bit of a concern. Simon Zeebo, he said, has been carrying a back spasm issue all week, and that he had only trained fully on Thursday, and then he kind of took a heavy collision early in the game, so that kind of forced him to limp off. Again, he just didn't give clarity on whether they're going to be available, but fingers crossed. Obviously, two really important guys, and welcoming the Dragons to Cork next weekend is a good chance to get a big win and give themselves every possibility of a home semi-final.
Yeah, I was going to say today's draw kind of sets up a really intriguing last day now next weekend.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. It's brilliant for the league. It's brilliant for the Pro 12, and even today's game was in that regard. It was just so exciting, so entertaining. For a neutral, it was just thrilling. And the rugby play was brilliant. Dry conditions, loads of internationals on the pitch. That's what we want to see from the Pro 12. And in that same vein, this kind of final few weeks of the regular season has been really exciting. And there's loads of different storylines. Even Connacht are still in there going for that sixth position and automatic Champions Cup qualification. So there's loads of little intriguing battles to be played out. The final day is really well poised. There's loads of permutations. Munster, look, they got to try and get that bonus point win, and then that's all they can do, and hopefully that'll be enough to get them over the line. Ulster are going to have to rely on others. They're down in fourth, obviously, and disappointed not to pick up the win today. So yes, it's going to be a really exciting final regular season round.
We look forward to it. Murray, thanks very much for your take from the action in Belfast this evening.
Thanks very much.
That's Murray Kinsella there of the 42.ie, the always excellent Murray Kinsella, I should say. Half time at Selhurst Park, Crystal Palace are trailing Manchester United by 1-0, thanks to one Mata's penalty, and So.
Good news for Connacht. They're leading Zebre 21.
Your beloved Connacht.
My beloved Connacht. So, as Murray mentions there, they're obviously targeting European Cup rugby next season, and that's they need to get the bonus point win over Zebre, and they're well on their way.
And Clontarf Cricket Club just 21 runs away from a win over Cork County in the Irish Senior Cup first round today. They're now on 124 for 8 after 25 overs. County posting at 144 all out. So, fingers crossed, County can get the two wickets that they need to win the match. Very, very shortly indeed. Going to talk about that Cork City's win last night against Sligo Rovers, leaving it late. Marc O'Sullivan popping up after Sligo had battled back admirably from two goals down to level it at 2 apiece. It looked like it was going to be one of those nights until Marky Sull popped up. Going to get the reaction of boss John Caulfield.
Absolutely delighted with the 3 points. We were through a difficult week. Some of the lads' confidence was down, but particularly in the first half, I thought our passing, our movement was fantastic, and you know, we got a great start, missed the penalty, and I think Sligo were on the ropes, and then we got the second, and you know, I think by conceding the goal before half time, you know, we let them back into it a bit, you know, but you know, you're expecting a Sligo were going to give a have a lash off, and to be fair to them, they did in the second half, and I said to Owen afterwards, he said has a very good squad, and I think they'll cause a lot of problems, but you know, it was to concede, get to 2-all, you know, you can see that maybe some guys would put their heads down, but we spoke about it this morning and said that look, we really need to hold strong and be strong and see can we get the 3 points, and it was brilliant for Marky to pull out the winner in the last few minutes, so delighted, and just like this, thank the crowd for coming out again tonight, because 3,000, the atmosphere was fantastic, and it was a roller coaster game. Probably doesn't suit the hearts of our supporters, but still, I think going home 3-2, I think everyone's happy. I think the main worry is just the confidence, because even though, you know, we've a fantastic bunch of guys, you know, they've taken a fair bit of battering over the last week, you know, obviously dropping a few points, and obviously being, you know, they've seen that they've been criticised quite heavily on certain sections of the media, so you know, you're always concerned that some guys might have lacked a bit of confidence, but we spoke today about, look, it's stand up and be counted, and you know, don't hold anything back, and you know, if you give it your best try and you're not good enough, that's fair enough, but you know, I think it was a roller coaster game, and I think overall, if you look at the type of the game and the chance we created, I think we did deserve to win, but at the same time, we could have easily, it could have easily been 2-all or maybe even 3-2, because in fairness to Nolte, made a fantastic save with 10 minutes to go, but I think when we look at the chances, someone told me afterwards that we had 17 shots on goal, so I think that probably told, and I think our, even our passing and our movement, I think, was really, really good, particularly in the first half. You know, I was disappointed we conceded a goal in the first half, because at 2-0 up, even though we had missed a pen, we were still well in control of the match, and you know, I think if we went at half-time 2-0 up, it would have been, you know, a different type of game, but the one goal gave them that bit of a lift, and to be fair to them, then they threw a bit of caution to win, and you know, we had a chance to get 3-1. Gavin hit the crossbar with a header, and you know, from our point of view, we conceded from a corner, which, you know, a few of the lads, you know, point out inside, they probably made a mistake, but you know, 50 minutes ago, 2-all, it's easy for everyone to turn on the team, but the crowd didn't, the crowd still rallied to keep going, and I suppose, to be fair, this team has got a lot of late goals, and it was a brilliant strike for Mark to get the winner.
John, Shep's goal, I think, was clocked at 28 seconds tonight. We got a tweet suggesting that you scored a faster goal on 95-96 here at Turner's Cross, possibly against Sligo as well. Did you?
Funny enough, you should bring that up. My mind is quite clear. I remember, yeah, someone said it was 16 seconds, I remember. And actually, we beat Sligo the same day, 1-0. You know, so it was, you know, it was actually a header from me as well, which was most unusual, but you know, it was a fantastic start for us, you know, certainly it put us on the front foot, and you know, sometimes last week, you know, people might have said we backed off, you know, we really tore into Sligo, we were really all over them, and you know, I think we had 7-8 corners in the first half, and we needed to get the second, we got the second, but then we conceded, and even on the stroke of half, even at 2-0 up, Shep came inside, he beat two people, had a chance from just outside, just in the box, and he put it over the bar, but you know, it was great for Shep to get the two goals, because he's a really, really good player, and we see his potential, but he's had a bit of an injury on and off since the start of the season, which has meant that he hasn't been at full flow, but I think it was fantastic for him to get the two goals tonight, and And as well as that, Hoolan coming into the team did really well and, you know, created. And I think, you know, even Jalali, to be fair to him, it's difficult when you're on the bench for quite a, you know, quite a long time. Even though you train so much, match sharpness is different. And but I thought he did really great while he was on. He put a lot of good crosses into the box and he's an exciting player. And tired a little bit, but because we, you know, it was overall, it was a good victory. And I think as well for Mark, score a second goal in the week. We need that because Mark was really good for us last year. We need to get the forwards getting goals for us.
I'm good to see Danny Morrissey and Rob Lehan on tonight. Have they finally put their injury problems behind them?
Yes, I would think so. And to be fair to the two lads coming in, they both got, I think Danny got 15, 16 minutes. Rob got about 10. But to be fair, the minute they came into the game, Danny was like a live wire, and even the winning goal from Mark, the two boys were involved in the move. And I just felt some of our players were after tiring a bit, so that's where we made a few changes, and the two boys came in straight away, had impact in the game. And that's what you need for your subs, to have impact. So and that's good to see, because our two young guys coming through, we know how good they are, and we need them to have impact. And they came on, and I suppose at 2-2, they had the effect that created the winning goal. We just spoke about all week, just to get back to focus totally on tonight's match, just concentrate and get the 3 points, see can we start to run again. And we haven't even thought about Monday night. You know, tonight was a real energy sapping game. I'm sure if you were neutral, you probably thought it was a fantastic game to watch, but obviously 99% of the crowd were our own people, and their hearts were in their mouth. But I think, you know, to pull it out 3-2, you know, it was a good sign, a good character of the lads. And you know, as I keep saying, absolutely delighted, because we had to get 3 points tonight.
And they certainly did. Gave us all a heart stack, though. Made hard work of it as well last night, the Cork sitting. But I think a late winner like that kind of has the effect of galvanising the team and really raising team spirit. And you could certainly see by the celebrations last night how much it meant to the team, because around me last night, I was in the shed watching the game last night, around me a lot of fans were kind of disgruntled, as you'd imagine, when Sligo came from 2 goals down to equalise. We were thinking, oh, here we go again. But at Marky Sull, scored against Bowes during the week, scored again last night, so good to see him fully fit and scoring goals. But a vital 3 points for City last night.
Yeah, absolutely. As you mentioned, like John saying things like, you know, it was a really difficult week for them to get that result. Like in the first half, City, I really enjoyed watching them. Carl Shepherd was causing an awful lot of problems up front, and I thought, you know, we were saying kind of early on he'll have a hat trick very early on. Then Sligo started to get a bit of control on it, and you know, it was really nerve wracking to watch them come back. And thankfully Marco Sullivan got the goal.
Yeah, certainly did. And it's Drogheda now on a Monday night at Turner's Cross, another midweek game, which is never really fun. The crowd's always down, the games are always a bit flat, but they'll have to do it regardless. And as Lisa mentioned, man of the match Carl Shepherd was brilliant last night, and he spoke to the media afterwards.
Yeah, I think we made it a bit hard for ourselves, like 2-0 up. It was a bit of a sloppy goal to give away just before half time, which was a bit disappointing, like. But we said before the game, we just want to get back to winning ways today, and it didn't matter how we did it. But thankfully, Marky popped up with the winner in the end. Nolte made a great save at 2-2, which obviously kept us in it. And then, as I said, Marky done the business in the end, thankfully. But we just wanted to get back to winning ways, and we needed that 3 points tonight.
Are you disappointed not to finish with a hat-trick?
I am, yeah. The penalty was poor, and I could have had another one or two as well, like which I'm disappointed with, but I can't complain. I got 2 on the night, and we've got 3 points. That's all I really care about, to be honest. I'm obviously hoping to go on and get more goals and obviously play better, but to be honest, all that we really wanted tonight was the 3 points. Doesn't matter if I played well or anyone else played well, we just cared about the 3 points. Didn't matter how it came, and thankfully we got it in the end.
Yeah, John was suggesting in his press conference that Carroll wasn't really fit the last couple of weeks, and that he's finally gotten back to full fitness, so we're starting to see the best of him. Really lively last night, and I thought Gavin Holohan as well. I think that was his first league start of the season. I thought he played excellently well. Just in front of Miller and Healy. Thought he played excellently well last night, and really encouraging stuff in patches last night that he played. It'll be interesting to see now what challenges Drogheda present on Monday, but hopefully another 3 points, and hopefully Longford can do us a favour tonight and take something off Dundalk. 7:30 the kickoff time for that one. I wouldn't be holding too many breaths for that Dundalk. Absolutely incredible. You'd expect them to go to Longford and win. Stranger things have indeed happened. All right, still to come on the show, we're going to talk to our co-Ramblers boss, Stephen Henderson. We're going to look back in the day's Premier League action. We're going to talk about the Ireland under-17s as well. Stick with us. You're listening to The Big Red Bench on Cork's FM.
The Big Red Bench.
Getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
Red FM.
All right, you're listening to us on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. The second half about to get underway at Selhurst Park. Crystal Palace 0, Manchester United 1 is the score. One matter with the penalty. Wayne Rooney looking a bit slightly meh. Doesn't look good. Falcao warming up there for him, so it'll be interesting to see how long Wayne Rooney lasts in that game. Elsewhere in the Red FM Senior Hurling League, latest score we have from there is St Finbar's 8 points, Aaron's Own 1-5. That's being played out in Toker. And Cork County are in action in the Irish Senior Cup first round. They're taking on Clontarf Cricket Club. County posting 144 all out, and in response Clontarf 134-8. So County need to get two wickets very, very quickly if they're to win that match there. Clontarf needing just 15 more runs to win. Alright, we are going to continue to talk about Irish football. Cork Ramblers beaten for the first time since Stephen Henderson took over. They lost 1-0 away to Wexford last night. However, when I caught up with the Ramblers boss earlier, he said he was greatly encouraged by their performance.
Obviously you were disappointed to lose the game, Rory. Do you know, we've been on a good run. But performance-wise, we were very happy, especially with the second half. We started the game pretty slow, in fairness to us, but in the second half, we took it to them. I think we spoke before, when we come in, there's a way to win and lose games, and if we were going to lose a game, that was the way to do it last night. By giving it our all, we had made some good chances against one of the top teams in the division. So overall, we're really very pleased, and the progression is still there. So, you know, we've no complaints.
As you said, Wexford a good team. They've 7 wins from their opening 10 games. But to show last night you're not far off that pace is very encouraging.
Well, it is, and you have to understand, Wexford, I think Shane is with them 5 years now, you know, and that team is together 3 years. So, you know, they have plenty of time to work together and get to know each other. You know, we're in the dark kind of 6 weeks, and as you say there, we're showing that we're not far away from a team who quite possibly will get promoted. So like I said, you know, we're not banging the drum saying we're going to do anything spectacular. We're trying to put a structure in place. The players are responding brilliantly. What they showed last night is that they're capable of competing against the best teams in the division, and I think we'll prove that again next week against Finn Harps. So, you know, you learn a lot when you win matches, but you learn more when you lose them. And we learned a lot about our lads last night. Some great characters, some great character, and some really good players. So I personally, and the players themselves, they really can't wait for next week to kind of start another run.
As you said, the players obviously responding to what you're doing. You must be very impressed with the players that you have at your disposal.
Oh God, yeah. Like, this is what we're saying, Rory. They're young lads. And they ask questions, and it's up to us to have the answers. You know, I'm not saying I'm perfect in any shape or form, or our coaches are. You know, we're all learning together. But these lads are responding. Their confidence was low. It's high now. And, you know, I think we were a little bit nervous before the match because, you know, we've gone from a team that were bottom of the league to a team that were kind of just not far off a playoff spot. You know, and I think nerves kind of set in just before the match. I could kind of sense it on the Thursday night as well. But then in the second half, you know, we just went for it. It was great to have Rob Waters back. Rob, you know, it was fantastic at holding the ball up. So, yeah, you know, there's lots of positives. The players have been great. We're getting better. And what's really good to see, Rory, is that they're enjoying the game. They're enjoying their football. They're enjoying their training. They're enjoying the matches. And it's a new challenge for them now. And Finn Harps next week will be another great indicator how far we've came.
And I suppose with young players like that as well, it's all about just instilling confidence in them.
Well, it's partly instilling confidence in them, but it's about learning the game as well, Rory. You know, you can have good players who have good individual talent, but what we're trying to do is to get them to use that individual talent within a team structure, and that's what you'd have to try and do with young players. Sometimes they do it great. Sometimes they don't, but that's what you get with youth. But last night they showed, and you know, that if you can go on a run of 6 games of not being beaten, that shows the aptitude of these players as well as their ability. So they are a fantastic bunch,
We're not getting carried away. There's no complacency. We got beat last night against a team that would possibly win the league. We didn't deserve to get beaten. So that's the confidence we'll take from it. Before the match, they were nervous. Now they have to kind of learn from that and say, look, we fear nobody. We can go into every game and enjoy it. And that's another thing that we learned from last night. And I'm looking forward to training next week because, you know, we came off the pitch disappointed, but, you know, they bet us 4-1 at home. So to go up there, to lose 1-0 and possibly got a point out of the game, that shows, you know, there's lots of improvement and they've a lot to be proud of.
And off the field as well, Steve, and now work beginning in earnest. You appointed a development and marketing manager during the week as well, just to kind of promote the club a bit more.
Yeah, well, you see, Dave Cannell has a lot of experience. He was the Passage chairman. He's done some work up in Dublin. He works for a company that get kids over to America on scholarships as well. So this is all part of what we're trying to do behind the scenes for Cove Ramblers. We want to make a proper development football club. We want to get proper business people in who will act in a professional manner. Dave will do that for us. He has lots of contacts. And if we keep winning games, then we become more attractive to sponsors. That will obviously hopefully generate more finance for the club, help pay off our debts, help to mind the players, just to give them expenses even. Do you know what I mean? So there's all this kind of positive stuff happening. Bob Donovan, he's had to come in as ambassador to the club. And he'll be looking after sponsors that are coming to the ground. So we're trying to put these professional structures in place where Cove Ramblers becomes attractive to sponsors, but more importantly to supporters, and that will help the club grow, and that's our long-term goal.
And as you mentioned, a big game now next Saturday night down in Cove, and I suppose getting fans back through the gates is going to be key to your plan down there.
Yeah, I think we all know, Rory, that we can put all the structures in place we want off the pitch, and that will help. But ultimately, to get people coming through the gate, you have to win games. You know, so we went on that run. We've definitely seen an improvement in crowds. Hopefully, we can get a big turnout for next week to see the division's top team. You know what, Rory? Mr. God gone astray. These are a fantastic bunch of lads who do this for no gain.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It really is a kind of David and Goliath situation for Ramblers, where we're coming up against teams with budgets. We're coming up against teams who have so much more stability in their clubs than us. But these players don't complain. They're all Cork lads that have a love of the game. They want to play for Cove Ramblers. They want to develop. They want to give 100%. And if anybody deserves that kind of support, it would be these group of players. And that's not me getting emotional. That's not me talking through me hat. That's genuine. They're a fantastic bunch of players that deserve to have a crowd come and cheer them on, because there's potential for a real story here with this group of players, and for them to kick on to that next level. It would be great to have, you know, 500-600 people come and cheer them on. And we had that last night. We had nobody at the match with us last night. We had about 3 people. But if we had a crowd to be that 12th man for us, what this team are capable of doing, you know, there's a story to be made.
Yeah, 7:45 to kick off this night week, so hopefully a big crowd down in St. Comyn's Park. Finally, Stephen, before I let you go, the FAI Cup draw, disappointing not to be at home, but not the worst draw you could have gotten either.
Well, no, you see, when you're in the kind of position we're in, we don't want to be going to Finn Harps, and we don't want to be going to Derry, and we don't want to be going to Cockhill Celtic. That's the mindset, do you know what I mean? So, Colesa are a very good Leinster Senior League side. My father actually managed them about 40 years ago, I think it was. But they'd be a tough proposition. It's up in Dublin. They have a fabulous ground up there. It'll be a tough game. But, you know, the Cup, no matter who you play in the Cup, it's always going to be difficult. But we prepare for that, right? But like you say, we have a few games before that. The league is the most important thing. And then when the Cup comes along, we'll deal with it then. But it's not, as you say, it's not the worst draw that we could have got. But we're looking forward to it.
Excellent, Stephen Henderson. Thank you very much for talking to us, and I will talk to you ahead of the game against Finn Harps next Saturday night.
Thank you very much, young man.
Yeah, it's Stephen Henderson there, co-Ramblers boss, speaking to me after last night's defeat to Wexford, and a big one for them next Saturday night against Finn Harps. 7:45 the kick-off time for that one.
When you hear him speak about, you know, trying to rally the sport for next week, it's absolutely no wonder Cove have turned things around the way they have since he came under. He's such a phenomenal speaker, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really passionate about that club.
Yeah,
and
it's unbelievable.
He really works hard, and you can tell how much it means to him. If you just talk to Stephen for 2 minutes about co-Ramblers, you can tell how much that club means to him. Getting people back through the gate, as I mentioned, at St. Comyn's Park is going to be vital. Next Saturday night is a chance for the people of Cove to get back behind their team and get through the gates and give the team the support that they need, because when you look at the league table, they're not that far off a playoff spot. They're only 4 points off a playoff spot as things stand. So
it's an exciting time for the club.
It is an exciting time for the club. So fingers crossed. Imagine if they got a result against Finn Harps next week.
Be huge. Be brilliant.
Finn Harps unbeaten so far. 7 wins, 3 draws for them. 24 points. They look like they're going to run away with it. But no reason whatsoever why Cove can't get a result next week. Alright, Crystal Palace and Man United. Ongoing second half there. United's the leading by a goal to nil when Rooney gone off injured. Radamel Falcao on in his stead. And at half time in the Red FM Senior Hurling League, all square between the Bears and Erin's Own. It's the Bears 10 points, Erin's Own 1-7. And elsewhere in the cricket, Cork County in action against Clontarf Cricket Club. Clontarf just need 7 more runs. They're 138 for 8, chasing 144. So unless County can get 2 wickets very, very quickly, it's looking like defeat there, unfortunately, up in Clontarf. Right, the Ireland under 17s playing out a scoreless draw against the Netherlands in their European Championship opener in Bulgaria on Thursday. They take on Italy tomorrow before their final group game against England on Wednesday. Ringmahon Rangers' Caoimhín Kelleher, soon to be the Liverpool goalkeeper, flies the Cork flag in Tom Owen's team. We're joined by Caoimhín now. And Caoimhín, first off, a fantastic result against the Dutch for you on Thursday.
Yeah, it was a good result, you know. Don't think we were expecting to get anything out of it, but we played really well and we just showed what we're capable of.
I understand you had to bring off at least one crucial save near the end.
Yeah, it was just one in there for someone to do, so good idea.
Yeah, the Dutch are a highly technical team, of course, but you were well able for them on the day.
Yeah, I think we're a really good technical team as well, so we knew we were going to be as good as them, so we showed that we were good technically as them as well, so.
And what aspects of your performance do you think, Caoimhín, that you'd look to improve on for the Italy match?
I think if we just be more clinical in front of goals, take our chances, I think we just need to score more goals.
But the result against the Dutch must kind of give the whole squad a boost and a lot of confidence heading into this game tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to throw the confidence to push on now and try and get a result against Italy. So,
have you seen much of them? Have you watched much tape on them or anything?
Yeah, the staff have done a lot of work on them. Like, they've gone to the Italy and England match and they've had a lot of work on them, so we're well prepared.
Caoimhín, it's been a bit of a whirlwind few weeks for you, I suppose, with all the news about you signing for Liverpool. How's it been for you personally?
Yeah, so it's just trying to keep my feet in the ground now and concentrate on my soccer, so it's been hard, but it's been good.
And when did the Liverpool move, you know, when did talk of that start and obviously confirmed then in the last couple of weeks?
Oh, it's gone over since, I'd say, November. I've gone over there playing. So, from November on, I say.
And are you a Liverpool fan?
No, Manchester United.
So,
he's out on quiet, though.
So, it must be massively exciting. Have you met, like, Brendan Rodgers and stuff like that, or?
No, I haven't met him yet, but hopefully when I go over now, I'll get to meet him and all that, so.
Excellent. When are you heading over?
Yeah, I'll be going over in July full time.
Excellent, massively exciting. So best of luck with that, Caoimhín.
Thank you.
All right, Caoimhín, we might get you to hand over to the manager there, Tom Owen, to speak more about the under-17s campaign.
Yeah,
cheers.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi, Tom, how are you?
Roy, all right, how are you?
I'm good, sir. We just had Caoimhín on the line there. He's just been signed for Liverpool, so he's obviously an exceptional talent.
He's really, really good. He's been outstanding for us all season. We brought him into a friendly tournament in Hungary in August. And he really excelled, and he's so cool and calm. He's just a natural, and he's done brilliant. Every time he's come in, he's got better and better.
And Tom, he spoke very modestly when I put it to him that he brought off at least one crucial save in the Dutch match. But talk us through Caoimhín's performance and your overall performance on Thursday.
We were really pleased with the performance. You know, the boys done really, really well. And like, I know Holland had a lot of chances, and Keegan Dunn, he done exceptionally well on numerous occasions, but he's been pulling themselves off all season, so we're not surprised. Like, and he gives the back four great confidence too. And we done well. We started the game very well. Like, you know, the first 20 minutes we were the better side, and Holland sort of got into it before half time, and after half time, you know, they got a bit of a grip on the game, and that's when Keegan came into his own, and he pulled off a couple of miraculous saves, like, you know. But we had great chances too. Like, we hit the bar, hit the post, one looking down just off the line. Of course, we're going to say it was over the line, like, you know. But and with a one-on-one chance in injury time, so like, overall, very, very pleased.
And a result like that and a performance like that against the Dutch must fill you with confidence heading into tomorrow's game.
Like, it does, definitely, Rory. Like, you know, there's great buzz in the camp, like the staff and players, and really looking forward to that league game tomorrow. But at the end of the day, the Italian game, you know, it's going to be crucial, and we can't get too carried away on the Dutch result either, because it's in the past now, and we're focusing on tomorrow's game. We'll have a training session now within the next hour and a half, and get the boys ready for tomorrow, a big game.
Have you seen much tape on them? Do you know much about them?
we actually went to the match the other night against England, and they're very well organised, with obviously every Italian team has always got goal threats, and they have two fellas up front that are dangerous, like, you know, and they have a couple of very good midfield players too. So we'll want to be on our best form, like, you know, going into the game, and like, a full confidence in our players, like, you know, that if we can match our performance the other day and like take a chance to come away, I'm confident that our fellas do very well.
And I expect you won't want to look past the Italy match, but it's England then after that. What result do you need in the Italy match to keep, I suppose, everything wide open going into the England game?
Well, it's going to depend on the other result. Basically, you know, like, England play Holland after us at the same stadium, actually. And, like, come here, as long as we don't get beat tomorrow, but you can't go into a game just wanting to draw, like, you know, especially young players.
Yeah.
We've got to go and want to win the match and take it from there, and don't even want to think of the third game at the minute. Like, our total focus is on the Italians.
Excellent stuff, Tom. Well, thanks very much for talking to us, and best of luck against Italy tomorrow.
Cheers. All the best. Good
appreciate
man.
It. That's Ireland under 17 boss there, Tom Moana, speaking to us ahead of tomorrow's game in their European Championship campaign. They take on Italy tomorrow. And we also heard from Queevy and Kelleher, the Ringmahon Rangers man who's signed for Liverpool, even though he's a Manchester United fan. But he told us to keep that quiet, so we won't mention it.
Don't tell anyone. Yeah.
All right, Crystal Palace have equalised against Manchester United, punching free kick. Going in fantastic free kick, actually. So it's Crystal Palace 1, Manchester United 1. And in the Red FM Senior Hurling League, latest score, it's St Finbar's 10 points, Aaron's Own 2-8. Owen Murphy there with the goal for Aaron's Own. And in the cricket, Clontarf now 142 for 8 after 36 overs. They need just 3 more runs to beat Cork County. So unless County can pull something miraculous out of the bag and get 2 wickets in the next couple of minutes, Clontarf are headed for victory there.
And Connacht are still leading Zebre 21-10.
Your beloved Connacht, yeah.
52 minutes played there. It's a huge game. Sorry, it's not just because it's my beloved Connacht. It's a huge game for Irish rugby. We'd have 4 provinces.
Beloved Connacht.
In European action next season.
All right, we're going to talk Premier League. Hull beaten by Burnley today. Burnley still relegated. Heartbreaking stuff for them. Al Ross.
Hull 0, Burnley 1. Burnley with a stellar defensive effort at the end to see off wave after wave of Hull attack and hold on for 3 points, which actually do them no real good. Results elsewhere mean they are the first team relegated from the Premier League this year. Danny Ings scored their first goal in 10.5 hours of football. Boos from the home fans at the final whistle, and you do feel that Hull will be odds on to join QPR and Burnley in the Championship next season. Hull 0, Burnley 1.
So heartbreaking stuff there for Burnley. Elsewhere, Newcastle have ended their run of defeats. They've edged closer to safety as well. Graham Lloyd.
Newcastle 1, West Brom 1. A vital point for the Magpies because it stops the rot after 8 straight defeats. But they deserve more, having been galvanised by a very difficult week to turn in an impressive all-round performance. Against the run of play, Victor Anichebe put Albion in front just after the half-hour mark. Jose Perez equalised 4 minutes before the break. And although Newcastle dominated the second half, they just couldn't find the winner, although Moussa Sissoko and Sami Amiobi both went close in stoppage time. Newcastle 1, West Brom 1.
Aaron's Own meanwhile have gotten another goal in their Red FM Senior Hurling League clash with St Finbar's. It's now Aaron's Own 3-8, St Finbar's 11.6 minutes gone in the second half. Out in Toker there. Elsewhere, Aston Villa moving closer to safety. Clive Edwards.
Aston Villa 1, West Ham United 0. Villa held on despite a pretty decent second half performance for West Ham. But the goal scored on the half hour mark by Tom Cleverley after some great work by Jack Grealish. Back to back wins sends Villa much, much closer to safety. Huge cheer at the end of this game from the Villa fans. Over 39,000 watch this game. It's ended Villa 1, West Ham 0.
And Leicester, what about them? 6 wins from 7 now, David Eason.
Leicester 2, Southampton 0. A crucial win for Leicester, who are ending the season as one of Europe's form teams. Riyad Mahrez's first half brace gave them a 6 win in 7. His first on 7 minutes, a low drive from 20 yards as he got away from some slack defending. The second on 19, poking home after Jamie Vardy fed him from the left. Vardy should have had a third before half time. Gattoniga in the Saints' goal saving as he was put through by Mahrez. Southampton dominated possession, but were no match for the intensity of this gutsy Leicester side. Leicester 2, Southampton 0.
Sunderland, meanwhile, edging closer to safety. A big win for them today at Goodison. Peter Smith.
Everton 0, Sunderland 2. Sunderland's goals were scrappy, but they won't care as they move up to 36 points. Both came in the second half. The first on 53 minutes. Danny Graham didn't know much about his deflected contribution from Yordi Gomez's goal-bound effort. 5 minutes from time, Jermaine Defoe was in the right place at the right moment, fortuitously diverting in an Adam Johnson cross. Everton were the better side, but ultimately Dick Advocaat's men were able to ground out the victory. Everton 0, Sunderland 2.
Stoke meanwhile denting Tottenham's European hopes today. Shane Pennington.
Stoke 3, Tottenham 0. It's now 1 win in 4 for Tottenham after some terrible defending put paid to any hopes of victory here this afternoon. Charlie Adam headed Stoke in front before Diane Lloris collided 11 minutes later to allow Nzonzi to fire home number 2. The only chance of a Spurs comeback disappeared early in the second half when Chiriches was sent off for a second bookable offence, and Stoke wrapped up the points 4 minutes from time when Diouf tapped home from close range. Stoke 3, Tottenham 0.
And Clontarf have just beaten Cork County by 2 wickets in their Irish Senior Cup clash today. A brave performance by Cork County, just falling short there at the end. So the Premier League table, what that means is Burnley are relegated. QPR have to win all 3 of their remaining games to have any chance. Hull are on 34 points. They are 2 points behind Newcastle and Sunderland. Sunderland though have a game extra to play. Leicester has been incredible stuff from them, 6 wins from their last 7. If you're going to avoid relegation, you might as well do it in style. The only team they've lost to in that 7 games is the Premier League champions, Chelsea. So absolutely incredible stuff from Leicester, and Aston Villa looking safe. They're 4 points clear of the relegation zone, so they look like they're safe under Tim Sherwood, who's turning things around there. And Crystal Palace 1, Manchester United 1 is the latest score. 65 minutes there on the clock. Manchester United looking to secure 4th place, looking over their shoulders nervously at Liverpool, who go to Stamford Bridge tomorrow. Man City taking on QPR at 1:30. Reports across Twitter today suggesting that Pep Guardiola has agreed to take over Manchester City from next season. Really interesting prospect.
I saw some
there.
Other reports also say it was nonsense.
Well, I don't know. Richard Keys said it.
Did he?
He did. I'm going to believe Richard Keys. Are you going to believe Richard Keys?
I don't know.
So I think that's where the rumour is coming from, actually, is that Richard Keys tweeting it earlier on today. But he said it would be interesting to see if he went to Manchester City, considering I think he still has a contract with Bayern. So I'm not entirely sure what's happening there. Arsenal and Swansea is the game on Monday. But at Chelsea and Liverpool tomorrow, so Liverpool have to give Chelsea a Guard of Honour onto the pitch, don't they?
Yeah, that's going to be good, isn't it?
It's going to be very interesting indeed. Right, Red FM Senior Hurling League, Aaron's Own 3-8, St Finbar's 11 points, and still 1 apiece between Crystal Palace and Manchester United. And your beloved Galway.
Fantastic news from Parma. They've just got the 4th try, so they have their bonus point now, 26 points to 10 with 56 played. So it's just about seeing out this game now. It's brilliant. I'm delighted, but obviously there's still way more to do. They host Ospreys at the Sports Ground next week, and they're the leaders, of course. And with things so tight at the top, that's a huge match for Connacht next week. But they've done the business this evening so far anyway. They should see out that bonus point win.
Did I say your beloved Galway's a bluff to your post to your beloved Connacht there? Did I?
Sorry?
Did I say beloved Galway's a bluff?
Well, that happens up in Connacht. I don't think the rest of the province like that when Connacht is called Galway.
Close enough.
Yeah.
It's in that general area. It'll be grand. All right, that is it from us. Thank you very much indeed for tuning our way. redfm.ie/sport is where you will find us on the World Wide Web. We are on the Twitter at Big Red Bench. And you can follow us there, and we are on Facebook as well. We're back tomorrow from 6. Stevie's up next. All the best in music with the man G coming up between 7 and 10 o'clock. We're back tomorrow from 6. Enjoy your evening. Good.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's new Red FM.